Yes. And just like that, it is Thursday. It is 9. And it's a full house. UK Cowboys time. How are we doing, guys?
Yeah, yeah, great. Right.
Yeah, yeah, not too yeah. bad. It's slowly picking up. As you know, for Cowboys, we always let everybody go mad, and you know, we don't run the risk of being having permissible or impermissible chats with free agents. So.
Mm-hmm. Yes, true. It has been a slow start. I mean, let's start there, guys. How is everybody feeling? And I always do thoughts and feelings to start every show. So I'm going thoughts and feelings to start this show. How did we all feel at the start of the week and everything leading up until yesterday? How did we all feel about the situation?
Trap, still trap.
Still trap. I can go with that.
Yeah. I have to say pretty much the same. I mean, when the only sort of transaction you'd done to in the run up to the start of the legal tampering period was that you extended or you restructured Zach Martin to get yourself under the cap, mm-hmm. you didn't do anything else to give you masses and masses of room under the cap. You knew it was going to be quiet the first couple of days, you know, and obviously there were players we would have loved to have tagged for signing with us. They obviously went crazy money in the first couple of days. We've lost players to Washington, which you knew was going to happen because of Dan Quinn. But again, you know, the amount that they've overpaid, I think, for Dorrance Armstrong, as good as a player as he is, I don't think he's worth $15 million a year.
No.
No chance.
Yeah, very similar. Just felt that we would have seen more signs that the front office was taking things seriously before now. We all knew what needed to be done, what needed to be started. When they were saying, oh, they haven't even met Dax people yet, it was kind of a clue that we were going to just rinse and repeat last year's formula of who can we grab later on. And some of it pays off, like Stephon Gilmore. Some of it didn't in terms of, you know, anyone who's not Stephon Gilmore. So it looks like we're doing that again.
Yeah. But things are slowly, as Lorne attested to at the start of the show, it's picking up. It's picking up slowly. Let's start with the big news, first of all. Right, the big news of all. That the Cowboys were silent. Radio silent completely. Like, we didn't even know if the Joneses were in the building. And then, slowly but surely, things happened. And then, I think, the icing on the cake that really... I thought it was going to be... At one point, I thought, here we go. This is going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back here. That the only thing that they did was sign Trent Sieg, the long snapper. I mean, like, I know we'll get we'll get into the other stuff in a moment. But I mean, like, on one part, I can see what was going to, you know, you were waiting for the storm to arrive. The other part, though, is I quite like that he's still here.
Well, Trent's still here.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it seems like we're going to be punting more. So it's important that we were able to get the ball to the punter effectively. So we've secured that part of our game.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, right? Trent is definitely it's quite an under, like, what's the right word here? I'm trying to think. But basically, it's an underrated re-signing. Like, it really is, because the guy has been solid, right? Yeah, you do need long, like, for him to take in charge of LP, like, come in, do what he had to do, etc. He's done fantastic. He helped Brandon Aubrey like become one of the best kickers in the NFL, and also like help our punter. Did a lot of things, and he was very effective. So yeah, welcome back, Trent. So and yeah, does he deserve a new contract? Absolutely, but it's not exactly the news that we were begging to hear. So
yeah.
But I'm going to be perfectly honest here. Like, I'm really disappointed of the whole thing in general, The fact is, I would literally come out of bloody retirement and even sign myself to the practice squad. That's how embarrassed I am with how things are going with this free agency right now. Especially seeing, right, after what Derek Henry went for. He went for less than Tony Pollard. Went for less than that.
Yep. He's got a few extra. I think he's got a few extra years, which actually gives him a bit more in those final years. But it was a relatively team friendly deal for them.
Very team friendly. And if we were to free up the cap and stuff like that a bit more, why can we bring him in? But no, there was other running backs we were looking at, like the Aaron Jones. He was out of our price range and stuff like that. There was other ones as well, like. Everything was like, I mean, yeah, I understand that we're currently like, was it like 2.2 million or something like that? Like above, like under the cap type of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, well, maybe if we were to like get him in now, then maybe cut some of the other, release some of the other players or restructure the contracts when we bring someone in, that would actually make it work. But no, we've just been twiddling our thumbs and just watch everything go past beyond us. You're seeing Titans making moves. You're seeing the Commanders making moves. You're seeing the Eagles making moves. You're like, what the hell is actually going on here? It's like, and again, we had to get another clarification from Jerry and Steven today. John Machota posted a video of Steven talking about how the redefining of the all-in was because due to fans' expectations of what was being said. And it's the same old spiel. Same old spiel. So it's like, yeah, we just need to trust our process and stuff like that. I come off it. Like, it's been, what, nearly 30 years since we won the Super Bowl. Nearly 30 years. Enough with the same speech every year. I want to see championships. I want us to get us to the Super Bowl. I've had enough of this. It's getting beyond an absolute joke. It's like, and we can't take Jerry and Steven seriously if that's the way how they're doing business right now. Like, as much as I appreciate what they've done for Dallas, the new stadium, AT&T, back then when it first opened back in 2010 or something like that. Right about that time anyway. Then you've got the Star in Frisco, fantastic facility. We all had the pleasure of being there, seeing all the history, seeing everything that Jerry, the house that Jerry built, essentially. And it's amazing. But we're not getting any return on investment by getting championships, and that's what we want the most. Like, you could have the best stadium in the world. You could have the best training facility for all your players. But what really the fans really truly want is championships. And it's getting beyond a joke. And the fact is, we're not bringing in the players to make that difference right now. We're becoming too tight right now. And it's like, what more? It feels like, and Steve just made a really good point. It generally feels like this is like a rebuild, or for me personally, it feels like it's going to be a build up to a failure of a season. Then it's going to be a rebuild because it's in it. Like, I'm being hypothetical. I'm going off on a tangent here, but hypothetically speaking, it feels like Jerry's trying to set up for failure. So we don't need to renew McCarthy or something like that. Something's just not right now to me.
Yeah.
I think there you go, Lord.
No, go on, Craig.
I just wanted to agree with so much of that. And I'd almost be understanding if this was a one-off. I'd almost be understanding if this was a history of then we're aggressive in the draft, or, you know, we're moving around. We don't have the capital for it. We don't have the culture for it. We will pick up one or two players, and then there'll be all the spiel about, you know, we trust them and develop them and so on. Kind of no. You kind of needed to make a splash now.
Yeah.
By setting yourself up in the off season and then actually done something. As you said, it's time to actually make the rest of the NFL notice us, not for, they're living in the past stuff. We kind of needed to do something to make people notice us. And our one real pickup isn't going to do that. Kendrick or whatever.
Yeah, I just want to mention as well, it's so ironic, right? Like, take the cap out the question here, right? The Dallas Cowboys are the richest sports franchise in the world. more than the New York Yankees, more than Real Madrid and Barcelona and soccer or football, as we call it. Sorry for to our American listeners and stuff like that. And for everyone that's watching right now, if you're watching on Twitter and if you want to make any comments, be sure to join our YouTube feed and comment if you have any questions or whatever, or want to make any comments, come onto our YouTube. But it's just ironic. It's like, we're the richest team in all the sports, and yet we've not lifted one piece of finger when you've got all these other teams making moves. It's just like, what's going on?
And the crazy thing about that is that, you know, this is something that Jerry helped instigate into the league, was the salary cap. So this is something that Jerry has hamstrung himself with as well. You would have thought that if anybody knew how to do contracts and everything like that, how to get around this salary cap, it would be Jerry and Stephen. But, you know, we're almost going back to the same sort of situation as the late 90s, where everybody was getting older. You'd overpaid on Dion effectively, which, you know, basically hamstrung you for the next 3 or 4 years. Michael Irvin went down. Emmett Smith was the last one there because Troy went down. And then you were left with guys like Quincy Carter and all that. And it is difficult to get to. Looking at you and picking up on what Steve's talking about there, about are we actually silently going into a rebuild mode? If you look at, especially with the restructuring of Zach Martin, next year you've got four guys who aren't going to be on the team technically at the moment unless they sign new contracts, and you're talking about a $76 million cap hit, dead cap. For Dak, it's $36 million. For Zach, it's something like $23 million or something like that. You got $4 million for Cooks, and I can't remember who the other one as well is. And, you know, you're $80 million under the cap at the moment on projection, but, you know, that's still, you've still got something like 14 or 15 players you still need to sign to actually get yourself into having 53 players, let alone having practice squad and everything else. So
it's just bananas right now. It really is.
And it's just, there's no reason why, if this was in their medium to long-term plan, they wouldn't have made the moves in January. You know, clear out McCarthy, clear out some of the, as you said, moving on older players, thank you and good night. And actually started to shake things up. I do agree with both you guys. It does feel like we are resting on the fact, oh, you know, we'll always get 12, 13 wins. No, not when you see everyone else is actually actively making moves. We can't rely on the Commanders and the Giants just being awful with what they're planning to do. Yeah. We can't rely on the Eagles choking so historically. And us stumbling into the postseason. With the strength of schedule, looking at next year, I think we're in deep straits if we don't shake things up quite a bit.
So I think things are going to happen. What we're seeing is very, very typical of what the Dallas Cowboys do. We knew it was coming. We all know that when free agency lands, the Cowboys are going to be silent. We knew that this was going to happen. I think the bit, though, that we haven't seen the Cowboys do before is not make the moves with their own roster. Like, we see them silent in free agents, but they're still doing things like they're doing restructures. They're finding ways to get guys on different contracts. They are signing guys and being quite clever with how they load the contracts up. But what we're not seeing is we've seen very little. So they've signed Trent Sieg. Fantastic, fine, great, brilliant. Yep. Job done. That's a tick in the box. Mm-hmm. That keeps special teams as it is. And as you were saying, Paul, he helped make sure, you know, there's a lot going on at long snapper. There's the communication. There's the chemistry there. Absolutely. You know, you've got to get that ball out on time, in the right place. The spin and rotation's got to be right. So when Aubrey's kicking that ball, the laces are out.
Yep.
That's all well and good. Brian Anger, same situation. You've got to get the ball to him so he can get the ball to foot, get gone. Brian Anger ends up finishing the season third in average yards per punt. So two ticks in the box. Common denominator, Trent Seek. Brilliant. So then they stay fairly quiet, don't make any moves. And then the next one we see happens today with Jordan Lewis. So great. People already are sort of reading between the lines and going, is that Gilmore out? I've already said this. I'm like, well, there's two sides to look at this. Number one, Jordan Lewis and Stephon Gilmore both play two complete different positions.
Yep.
You're talking about a slot nickelback corner and an outside corner. They are completely different. And neither of them are any good playing at either position. People talk about the coverage skills. I mean, you know, Lewis statistically is better. The issue I've got with signing Gilmore, he did a fantastic job of what he did last year, but I was holding my breath every game because you're talking about an aging cornerback, and it's all about the athleticism. Like, your cornerback, in terms of what it puts on the stress on the body, is really, it's one of the highest, or if not the highest, of all the positions in the NFL.
Mm.
When the season starts this year, Stephon Gilmore's going to be 34 years of age. And I'm not sure. And to me, I don't think it would be the monetary value for Stephon Gilmore. I think it would be the length of the contract. Yeah. So Stephon Gilmore wants as long of a contract as possible. If it's 2 or 3 years, he's not going to want a one-year contract. And Dallas are going to sit there and go, you're getting a one-year contract. They right. So Jordan Lewis, as it's been reported by John Machota, is a one-year deal. This is a guy who's a veteran on the roster. He's proven himself already. He's got nothing to prove. He's one of their guys, as they say. And they've only gave him a one-year deal. And they've only given him a one-year deal. So what do you think they're going to do with Stephon Gilmore? They're only going to offer him a one-year deal. And I don't think Gilmore's going to buy that. He's going to go, and without giving too much away on it, from conversations I've had, could be that Gilmore's looking to go back to New England.
Yeah. Swung song. Yeah.
I mean, the one thing as well is Gilmore is coming back from the injuries, had surgery at the start of the off season. You know, the longer he goes through this free agency period without anybody actually signing him or anything like that, much the same as Tyron Smith, the closer it becomes to the Cowboys being able to re-sign him by to a relatively low-ball offer. You know, Jerry has always been, you know, here's what we're willing to offer you. Off you go, test the market, see what you get. And, you know, come back, by all means, come back to us and we'll tell you, yeah, we'll match that. Or, you know, sorry, off you go, have a good life, that sort of thing. But I mean, obviously, you saw Tony Pollard taking money left, right, and centre to leave almost immediately. You know that, you know, there was all the talk of him taking a pay cut to come back to us. That was never
going to happen.
No.
After having a taste of what he got in the franchise tag, he wouldn't accept anything less. To be honest, and I don't blame Tony Pollard for taking more of the money because, end of the day, it's sure like life after football. You need as much money as you can to kind of have a sustained life and career after football. So,
especially at running back.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I mean, the pickup of Eric Kendricks through the night last night, I mean, that is purely, probably more to do with the fact that it's reuniting with Zimmer.
Yes.
I imagine they're on a veteran minimum contract because that's technically what he was going to be signing with the 49ers for. There's two factors. There's one is that as soon as Greenlaw gets fit again, he'll go down the depth chart, he'll become a part-time player, situational player, that sort of thing. He's got more chance of being a full-time player with us. And again, it's coming back, come in, he knows the Mike Zimmer scheme, assuming there isn't any major deviations from that scheme. He knows that scheme. He'll be able to fit in here, and he'll be able to run the defense for Mike Zimmer. So,
absolutely, and not to mention as well, like you mentioned, likes of being more of a starter. There is the news of like Leighton Van Der Esch. There is supposed to be an announcement coming soon, and sadly, it's supposed. The likely chance is he is going to retire from football. In a way, I'm glad he is, because I don't want to see Leighton get hurt anymore. Like I'm a big
Tony Romo effect.
It really was. Like I love Leighton Van Der Esch. I thought he was great for us, but the only problem is he just kept getting injured all the time and having that neck issue. So now we're bringing in Hendricks in, which is great. Like, we've got a guy that knows Zimmer's defense, like back in his time during the Minnesota. So he would know how to help the other guys in this roster, like help me out here, Lauren. I'm trying to remember.
Damone Clark.
Yeah, like let's start
Overshawn.
So he'll help those guys out, like trying to say, okay, this is what Coach Zimmer wants us to do here. It's like, like if you're in a position, no, you're going to get fucking balled. Sorry, excuse my French here. You're going to get absolutely balled out by Coach Zimmer for not doing your job right, if that's the case. So having like a guy like Hendricks, and especially in a depleted positional group like linebacker right now, is a good acquisition to this roster. So in ways, that is a good signing. But we need more. We definitely need
there
more.
There you go. Yeah. And talking about LVE and so on, it also kind of leads into what we were saying, that if we'd seen some progress, if we'd seen some sign that he was returning,
we'd be praying, Craig. We'd be praying, like, please don't get hurt. It's like we're actually more like... Yeah. We're more caring about your actual health and safety rather than you being on the football field right now.
Like, exactly. Like, and every snap we'd be thinking, oh, okay, maybe not. It's not worth it. But there's no cap difference between if he was released, if he retired, if he's released before or after 1st of June, nothing like that. So if there were no signs, probably Kendricks is the replacement for LVE in the short term. If there was no sign that LVE was coming back, should have been gone sooner. Release 1.6, I think I read, from the cap, which could have, been a signal. Okay, we're ready to look on again. The fact that there isn't, it feels like a franchise that is asleep at the wheel.
Yeah, I mean, that's something I've written this week, is are they asleep at the wheel? It does seem it. It is rather odd. Like I say, the issue isn't the free agent signings. It's the lack of signing their own. I mean, the other good news is, as we're talking here, I know it's not massive news, but it's showing that there is movement from the front office. CJ Goodwin has been re-signed, so... You've got the speedy gunner on special. So that special team's covered. We've got the long snapper. We've got the returners. We've got a gunner. There we go. So
I'll just bring up Milo's comment here, or question here. He's asking, do we have an additional 35 million dead cap in 2025 for Dak? Yes, if no deal is signed by this time next year. As soon as the 2025 new league year kicks in, if there's no contract in place with Dak, it's a 35 million dead cap. If there's a new contract in place, then it's the sums of the two void years, they will get rolled into that money as well. So that's what you got to think about. And it'll get restructured and everything like that. So if there's a deal done, you bring Dak's cap number down this year, again, free up some capital for this year. And again, it will build and build and build. But as we've talked about, you're probably talking another four-year deal. Ultimately, the fourth year, you're probably talking about another you're probably talking about paying him $100 million that particular year, because you're talking about it averaging out at about $60 million a year.
Yeah, but like Mahomes did this week, just to give them a little bit of leeway restructuring the contract. But when they re-signed Dak and he was the top paid person, now he's what? Well, before this week, he was what, 10th. Yeah, there are other teams that have made moves that are further up the pay scale. So some of the chat online was on some of the YouTube things were about, oh, you know, Dak's number, you can't do much because of you're paying this much. You're paying top five for a top 10 QB. Well, we're kind of not. We're paying top 10 for a top 10. And other teams can play the game. It's, as we said, they haven't played the game. They haven't given us the wiggle room, which... Lon, when you said about the, are they setting up for a slow season to have a quiet restructure? I hadn't actually thought of that before, but I don't know. There's a lot of evidence for that.
Well, I mean, again, as I joked with Mike last week on our show here, you know, I said you could actually have Dak without a contract released next year. You take that $36 million cap. If you pick up Trey Lance's fifth-year option, you play a year with Trey Lance at $22 million or whatever it is, that's $3 million less than what Dak is on at the moment. So, you know, you're actually talking about making a saving there next year. You see what Trey Lance is. If it's nothing, you maybe use draft capital in the 2025 draft to pick up a quarterback, let him sit behind Trey Lance for a year and move on that way. Or you've got, if Trey Lance balls out, you know, because he's put in all this work with Two Life Craig and also Mike McCarthy develops him as well on the field, then, you know, maybe you do have something there. But again, it also resets everything. If we don't get to the NFC Championship this year, you're changing your coaching staff. You're relatively able to sort of tear everything down and rebuild. So,
yeah. I've got an interesting question here from old friend of ours, Andrew Freeze. Left tackles. Go on, Paul, because I've got one.
I've actually got the list here of all the available ones that actually are here. So,
I was going to say, I did write on this one, and one of the guys I mentioned, you might mention if he's still available, is Mekhi Becton.
He's not listed here. I think... It looks like he's been picked up by the sense of it.
I will check. I
haven't seen anything, but again, Bakhtiari, Becton, they're all relatively injury prone, or they've had injuries in the last couple of years. And this is probably, again, you know, certainly in the case of Bakhtiari, you know, he's probably been on the sick bed as much as Tyron Smith has in the last couple of years, certainly.
He's still available. I've just checked.
It's still available. Okay, so there's the other players. So there's David Bakhtiari, there's Charles Leno, Tyron Smith. There's Dwayne Brown, which is not going to happen because he's coming up for 39 years old. Yeah. There's Cornelius Lucas and Donovan Smith. But all these players I've just listed out are over the age of 30.
Yeah.
And it's such a good draft class for tackle. I think they're probably going to sit on the shelf until after April.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it all depends on which way round they want to go with this too. Because, I mean, the thing is people keep saying when I bring up tackle is they go, oh, but, they turn around and they just say, look, We can push Smith from guard to tackle. I'm just like, okay, yeah, that is an option, but then that still means we need to draft a guard. We still need it because we already need a center because Tyler Biadasz is gone. He got signed on Monday by the Commanders. So that's two inside guys we need.
And Jackson Powell just, Jones.
Johnson, that'd be the way. Just go JPJ, mate.
JPJ.
But I mean, like, you just think that, me personally, I think that they had a chance. They had a chance to kick Smith out when Tyron got injured, and they didn't. They decided that they were going to put Chuma Odoga out there, TJ Bass, any number of players, and they kept Smith playing at left guard. They never moved him at all. And I just think that's telling. I think that they want to make him the guard. They like him at guard, and that's how it's going to stay. And I think that tackle is... And as you already mentioned, Craig, tackle in this year's draft is deep, is talented. Yeah. I think if they don't go with a tackle in the first round, it'll be the second or even the third. And that's fine, because any number of these guys can come in and fill the role and they can play tackle. I just think that I think what they'll do is they'll play the board on who's, because it may be that they take a first round tackle, which is fine as well. Whichever number of way they decide to do it, you know, is how the board is falling to them at that stage of the draft.
I mean, that would probably be my first choice, if I'm being honest, because I don't know if the, Chris, looking at this year's draft, like, is there any running backs that is worthy picking in the first round? Is there any linebackers potentially worthy picking in the first round? And also, not to mention, we could trade back and still get more draft picks and still get a top tier left tackle in the first round. So, like, say, yeah, Graham Barton's, etc., from Duke University, all those other guys. Like, if we want to go for Troy from Washington. We may need to kind of trade up or go, or even Jackson Powers Johnson, JPG. Like, because there's two teams that are desperately needing of a center as much as we are right now, and that's the Steelers and the Eagles. So a likely chance of like JPJ going to one of those teams is very likely. So and if we were to try and get up ahead, we would need to move up to 19th in the draft to try and steal them, essentially. But who knows? There could be another team much earlier on in that draft that might actually might pick him, because he might be the best player available in their eyes. So we just don't know.
There's two things with the Eagles that might factor well for us. One is they re-signed Landon Dickerson this week, or did an extension with him. Landon Dickerson in college was also a centre as well. So there is talk of moving him to centre and taking over the Travis Kelce position. The other thing as well is obviously they're now being investigated for this impermissible contact with Saquon Barkley, which is all because the I think it was the Penn State running back coach had said, oh, that, you know, Saquon had been really impressed with Howie Roseman had spoken to him on the phone. And that's, you're allowed to talk to the agent, you're not actually allowed to talk to the player during the tampering period. So this is what's being investigated at the moment. Miami, when they were deemed to have had impermissible contact with the head coach and with Tom Brady, I think it was, they were fined a first and a third and some cap room as well. So potentially that you could be talking about losing one of your top picks as well. That certainly would help us if they're off the board. But,
It would. I think as we're saying, it's just for some of the probably the earlier ones, the JPGs, the Fatanus, the Alt and someone else slipped my head. I think the ones going in the 8 to 20 range, I don't see the Cowboys moving up to get them unless they absolutely fall in love. I think the 25 to 35, 25 to 40 range is probably our sweet spot. So if we did drop back and get another third, that bothers.
And or even reclaim the fourth. But so I want to run a wee scenario with you here, right? I was kind of like, I was talking to the CanFan guys about this. We did a mock draft the other night there. And so we're at the 19th pick overall, right? And there's Troy and there's Jackson Powers-Johnson there, right? We trade up to that spot and give them Trey Lance, and we get an extra, and we get draft picks back as well. So we're doing like a swap. So would you trade up just to get an extra fourth back? And get rid of like Sir Trey Lance?
I mean, no. I'm the wrong guy to ask, because I mean, I'm shipping Trey Lance off for anything.
So the answer to that is yes, you would do it.
I'd trade him anything. Just get him off the roster and get something back. It was a poor trade to begin with.
And I'm sure that if we get something, give up our first round pick to move up five spaces and still get an extra draft pick as well, that probably, Jerry would be seen to be winning from that as well, that, the gamble that he's taken, it's helped pay off. The alternative, though, is that you are talking, if you don't do anything with Dak, then you are basically starting from scratch next year completely.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Because Cooper Rush is on the final year of his deal, I'm sure you don't want Cooper Rush to be your starter for 18 games. Because
it's absolutely crazy. Like, we've got this season coming up, and we're already talking about the outcomes of 2025. It could be a completely brand new whole outcome, a whole new rebuild, and we're not even discussing as of right now. It's just insanity.
See, I wouldn't make that, because just thinking about how many teams lost their way last year, or just managed to scrape in and then whatever because of the quarterback losses. I think I would rather have Trey Lance as a insurance pick than I probably would Cooper Rush or a lot of the replacements they had last year. I think otherwise we're just writing off the season, or we get a fourth and then halfway through next year, we have to give away that fourth to pick up, I don't know, Mac Jones or some nonsense.
Well, no, he's going to Jacksonville.
Yeah, but someone completely pointless that actually isn't going to move the needle at all. Trey Lance might.
Yeah. We're talking Dak, so let's move to this question that I saved for us all from Stevie M about...
Stevie!
About Jerry talking that they haven't even started getting into talks yet. Now, they haven't got into talks with other players either. So let's just start with that. That they haven't gone into talks with CeeDee Lamb, and we know that they want to do that. They haven't got into talks with Tyron Smith. They are going to, because Stephen Jones has said it today that, they're high on these guys. They want it done. They're going to get it done. I think they're just playing they're playing a little cat and mouse game. And it's a very dangerous game to play as well.
The playing with fire here, because for all we know, it's like, they're maybe waiting, but next thing, it could be snatched away from their grasp. That's the problem.
The issue is what happened last time.
They did it before and they got their fingers burnt, which is why there's no trade clause deal, which is why there's no tag deal attached to Dak's current contract. So it's boxed themselves in because they played this game before. We could look at other options. No, just live the simple life. Come on, guys.
You can see one thing though. The element is the first person who picks up the phone that's giving away the power. And
it's Mexican standoff, for sure.
Yeah, it's a sort of Mexican standoff sort of thing. The person who shoots first, obviously, you either need to make that really stick, or you're in a weakened position. So,
didn't we learn our lesson the last time when we tried to do that with Dax deal the first time round? Like Todd France, the pain in the backside that he is, his agent. He actually is like really. We had to franchise Dak. Then, rather than paying Dak $35 million a year, we ended up paying $45 million a year because of his agent. Because he don't get me wrong, did a great job for Dak. Managed to get him more money, but we could have easily got Dak in a much more friendlier deal earlier on.
Yeah,
if we didn't start playing twiddling our fingers about in the front office, essentially. And we've been doing that quite a lot recently. Like, we left like Randy Gregory to the last minute. We've left other players' contracts to the very, very last minute and ended up overpaying sometimes. So if anyone's to blame, it is Jerry and Steven, really, because I just don't understand why we're not being more our heads screwed on in terms of being player personnel. We've got a whole dedicated team in Dallas to be player personnel. Why is that not taken into factor here?
Never mind ourselves and Jerry and Steve. Where else in the league or in the past has it been that playing brinkmanship with your number one piece has paid off? Has, you know, by doing it and they've backed down and thus we've been able to get this guy 10 million earlier? No, because the market's always moves up and you just build in tension when you don't need it. If you get in early, if you show commitment and then you can build in that flex that we talked about earlier, where you can renegotiate down the line and make things more friendly. But you know, playing that Mexican standoff game, someone's going to get shot.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally.
It is true. So here's the question, guys, right? Now, I made a post today. I mean, Paul's seen it a while back on Trey Benson, running back. Running back is a huge need. I like Trey Benson, but here's an idea of what I had today, because people have sent in comments and messages today asking about Trey Benson. And a lot of people are saying that the second round pick for the Cowboys, where they're picking 56, is a bit rich for taking a running back there. I agree. But if they traded back in the second round, just a little bit, not much, just a little bit, would you be willing to use that pick, and say they get a fourth round pick back? So somebody says, look, I'll give you one of our fourth round picks. We'll swap second round picks. Would you be willing to do that? And with that second round pick, would you then, because the value is a little bit better, use that to take Trey Benson? Because he's not getting to you in your third round pick. He's going to be gone. Mm. Knowing that you've still got this extra pick to play with, would you be happy on doing that?
No, really?
No, right. I think 56 for RB1, RB2 in this draft isn't too rich at all. I think that's the time you strike. Oh. I think.
Okay, interesting angle.
All right, okay.
Dropping back a few, and then we're picking up RB3, RB4, RB whatever. And it's a case of this draft isn't great for RBs. We've missed the market on free agents. And what? Are we going into the year with RB1 being Dowdle or Juice? I think 50s is where you strike and you get your RB for the next 2-3 years, whoever they fall in love with.
I mean, that's a really good fair point, Craig. I mean, I was just kind of thinking, depending on what the other team's needs are, because there could be no running backs get drafted before we do trade back those maybe 4 or 5 spots. It could be cornerbacks, it could be wide receivers, it could be more offensive linemen, which you can never have enough offensive linemen, let's be honest, because this year's draft is fully stacked with O-line this year. So, and by the time we move like from 56 to, say, 60, and if that RB1 that we like is still there, then great, cool, I would take it. And we get an extra 4th-round pick. So I think it really just depends who the other teams and what their needs are. So in a way, I agree with you, but at the same time, I would do that as well. So I would do both, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'd want to know what's gone before making that decision, because the running backs this year, from my understanding, is the best place to start taking them is the tail end of the second round. You've got good value between second and fourth round. You've potentially got a couple of guys in the fifth round that you could actually have as an effective running mate with somebody that you bring in as well. Now, who do we bring in? You know, obviously there's a couple of names that ended up on a few people's tweet lists this week, thinking that we've got deals done and we haven't done them yet, or we haven't announced it yet. So there's somebody there that you can pick up like that. But, you know, it really is what goes before, because, again, trading back, you know, helps with your salary cap position as well, because obviously it's a couple... the difference between a four spots in the second round is, you know, at least £500,000 or $500,000 a season sort of thing as well. So that yeah. that saves you on the salary cap as well. Not that you want to be that cheap, but you know, and I think Jerry is now going with the or you know, the Cowboys are now going with that focus that you know, you run a running back for 2-3 years, you then move on.
Totally agree with you. I want to outline. So I'm just quickly doing like a quick mock draft just now, just to kind of get a list of all the running backs. So I'm in the second round already, right? Yeah. And so at pick 56, there's a whole ton of names that are actually graded higher than Trey Benson. So you've got Jonathan Brooks from Texas, Jalen Wright from Tennessee, Blake Corum from Michigan, Bucky Irvin from Oregon, Ray Davis from Kentucky, Mashawn Lloyd from USC, Audrey Estime from Notre Dame, then it's Trey Benson. So there is a good number of running backs that can still be there. Yeah. And if anything, I think if that's the way how things are and all those running backs are available, then I would see no problem, despite moving four places back, one of those top running backs that you quite like would still be there. So I would have no problem moving back four places and get the guy that we want.
Yeah, exactly that. If we've got two or three and they're still on the board, then that's a risk we can take. If we've fallen in love with one, and I mean, yeah, if we drop back four or five, then the four or five behind us may not want a running back, but someone in the third with a lot more draft capital could scalp. Yeah. So it all depends on who they're in love with.
So here's the funny part, right? So pick 57, 58, 59, and 60, right? So that's the Bucks, the Packers, the Texans, and the Bills. In terms of team needs, Tampa Bay needs a running back and Green Bay needs a running back as their top two. But
especially if AJ Dillon gets running.
Yeah, exactly. So now AJ Dillon's gone, so they'll be looking to get another running back. So that you could lose two of those guys if we were to trade back. So that goes back to your point, Craig. Maybe get them now. So it really does depend what other teams are doing as well and who's available. So
okay.
I mean, the one thing, the Packers did pick up a running back, obviously, in the first couple of days of free agency as well. Yeah. So, you know, obviously they then released Aaron Jones. So, and now that obviously AJ Dillon's gone, so you know, are they looking for that stable mate to go? Who was it they picked up again as well? Josh Jacobs, that's it. So
they've got their running back now with Josh Jacobs.
They do have their main running back. Do they want a second guy that high up, or you know,
maybe,
are you talking
maybe probably later down the rounds as this backup,
like
just to
day three guy,
So I think Green Bay would be out in that situation. It's more Tampa Bay I would be worried about then, because they're number 57, they're the one right after us if we were to trade back.
Is Dillon gone, or is he on? Is he being talked about? But
he's basically free to, he's free to move, but he hasn't actually gone with anyone yet.
He's expressed interest in signing with us as well. Correct. You know, he's not said no. He's not worried about the weight room being a zoo or anything like that. So
we all make the noise to that one. But I mean, me personally, I think Blake Corum's the first running. Not that he's my number one running back.
Yeah.
I think he's the first one off and he goes to the Chargers.
I think that's a safe assumption.
I just think Harbaugh's there and he's just gonna go, let's get my guy back.
Yeah,
that's how I think it goes. Not that it should, but I just think that's the way it'll go. But here's one for you then, right, guys? And everyone as well at home, answer this question. And if you're on Twitter, answer it either on Facebook or our YouTube channel. I've got a good question here for you. That there is obviously a hole at offensive line. There's still a hole at defensive back. And there's still a hole at offensive line. Offensive line, defensive line, cornerback. Which of these three guys is most important to sign? Tyron Smith, Stephon Gilmore, or Jonathan Hankins?
Stephen Gilmore. No, sorry, Tyron Smith, I would say.
Yeah, you're going that way.
Yeah.
Jonathan Hankins, because the defensive line in the draft isn't that impressive this year. And mm-hmm. Hankins shuts things down.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it'd probably be Tyron, because that at least allows you to focus on one position on the offensive line, i.e. center. You know, and then you can potentially use one of your later picks in somebody who can be brought on to take over from Tyron, because you're only bringing him in for another 1 year deal. You know, again, the offensive line is stacked. Center, you know, potentially as well. Center, you can get a good center in the second or third round as well, maybe in the fourth round, and you've got a potential starter there as well.
That's more like.
But again, it just allows you to sort of focus a little bit better. Hankins, you know, at some point he's going to have a drop off as well, and again. Yep. Hankins has been injured a couple of times as well. We've missed games mm-hmm. with him, and that's where the running game. Not that it was Mazi Smith's fault, but that Buffalo game, I don't necessarily think Hankins would have done anything for the running game there, because it was something that the Buffalo coaches obviously picked up on our weakness and, you know, attacked us with it. It's something that Green Bay did as well. That again, they ran away from Hankins. You know, and purposely put us in the position where, you know, they were able to take advantage of the fact that Marquise Bell was playing linebacker and what have you. So,
I mean, for likes of Tyron Smith, right? Yeah, and I just saw Andrew's comment there. He is injury prone. That's true. That is a fact. True. He's not had a full season for the Dallas Cowboys since 2015, I believe. Or 2014. So every one of those seasons up till now, he's missed games. So yeah, that is a concern, but that will play into a factor in what type of deal that we can sign him to. Will he be a full-on starter being back at the Cowboys? Probably not. We probably will still need to draft a left tackle for the foreseeable future. So therefore, he would actually need to get more up to terms and speed and stuff like that. So, but in terms of like Jonathan Hankins, there is some there is some players that can do the job, and not to mention, I think we will need to draft an interior, because we've now lost Neville Gallimore, my guy. Like, a guy I thought should have, he did not achieve what he did, after coming out of college.
The Canadian bulldozer.
Yeah. To say I'm disappointed, but I wish him all the best in Miami. I will say that, but there is some guys there. I mean, you've got Tavondre Sweat from Texas. You've got Braden Frisk, the guy that absolutely balled out during the combine for Florida State. And it's funny, we're talking about Florida State guys, so we should speak to our friend Jay to tell us more about these guys, you know? Yeah. But like Frisk, and you've got the running back you were talking about. So that's two Florida State guys that we've been talking about. So, and you've got Michael Hall from Ohio State. I quite like look at him. But there is interior tackles that we've got nowhere touching in this year's draft, and that's Byron Murphy and Jason Newton from Illinois.
You never know.
Who knows? There could be a whole what's his name? Laramie Tunsil situation. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, I do the scouting report, and I did one that's coming out, and I did one on a wide receiver. Brian Thomas. And one of the comments that one person made, complained about, is why are you doing first round guys who aren't going to land to us? And I was like, that was the same reason why I never did a CD Lamb scouting report.
That's very true. No one
never say never. And
if anyone was to recall, at first I was not happy with the whole CD Lamb pick. I was not happy about it at all until after the draft, and after logically thinking about it, it's like
inwardly digesting.
It makes sense now that I've thought about it. So, yeah. Because in our heads, we were desperately needing a defensive end at that time. Mm. We didn't get one. Like, till the later rounds or something like that. I think it was Goldston we got. No, it wasn't Goldston. It was, I can't remember who we got actually. But he's long gone. Whoever it was, he must be long gone now from the Cowboys. But anyway, but you get what I mean though. It's like, you may never know what to happen in this year's draft. It could be one of those players that just completely keeps falling down for no reason at all. If it's due to need from other teams picking, like, I mean, we saw the running back that went to Detroit. No one had him going up that high. Like, and that completely threw a curveball with all the other teams thinking, oh God, I can get him. And it kind of threw everything a little bit about in the mid of that first round.
Well, I mean, I'll give you another example. I think it was Maurice Hurst, the defensive tackle from Michigan, about 4 or 5 years ago, and he was predicted to go tail end of first round, high second round, or something like that, and he ended up dropping all the way down to the seventh round. And it wasn't until after the draft that you were hearing things that, you know, there was a diagnosis that he had a blocked heart chamber or something like that. And there was,
that
sort of thing. He had surgery immediately. It got remedied. He ended up being a relatively good player for the Raiders, and I think he's still playing in the league now. So, you know, there can be little things. Same with us with Damone Clark as well.
Damone Clark. I mean, not to mention as well, at the time, as with Jabril Cox, we thought Jabril Cox would have been a second rounder, but he fell to us in the fourth. But unfortunately, it never worked out, unfortunately.
The ACL killed him. The ACL really destroyed his team.
It's a shame, because he would have been a great player if he was to be fully active and being part of the squad, essentially. But it just happens. And as, like I said, the draft is a lottery. And we've seen it, like, especially when it comes to quarterbacks for all the other teams.
Yeah.
When can you recall, like, that all these quarterbacks actually fulfilling their, like, potential being in the first round? It's like all these, like, you've seen, like, your Josh Rosen's, your Sam, Zach Wilson's, Sam Darnold's, like, being graded so high, but yet now they're being, like, on the back bench, going from team to team and stuff like that. Like, it's, nothing's guaranteed. So it really is a lottery. And when it comes to certain position groups, it's the same with cornerbacks. These look amazing in college, but they might not fit into certain particular systems. Same with linebackers. Like, they might play a 3-4 defense, but they've never played in a 3-4. Like, or a hybrid defense, so it'll be all new territory, and they might not get to have the, like, chemistry with the coaches once they get here. So all these things do play into factors here. So I think it's, like I said, like, as a lottery when it comes to the NFL draft. It's a matter of, like, if you can get the right guy that can actually talk to his coaches and get a good bond, then there is something there. So I think that is a really key thing to really consider as well.
Yeah. And we have been good at that in recent years of developing that bond and actually being able to develop it. Hmm. On the other hand, it can also be an attitude thing. And we've had one or two instances where attitude and behavior and people with money and temptation has frustrated what's been a good prospect.
So, and look at that. We just flown through an hour like it was just like a couple of minutes. It felt like we started a couple of minutes ago. How did that go so quick?
I know, it doesn't feel like an hour. But but I just want to mention to everyone that's watching the show, all you guys are actually on X right now. We see you all. Thanks for swinging by. But if you want to get involved with the show, we're here every Tuesday, Thursday. If you want to comment, be sure to go onto our YouTube, leave a comment. Be sure to hit the like, hit the subscribe, follow our UK Cowboys Twitter account as well, X account, Instagram, etc. So thanks for swinging by, and like Mike always says, you guys are the MVPs.
The MVPs of the show, of course. So let's get through this then, guys. We'll pay the bills and we will get out of here. Paul, you can hit me with it this week.
Sweet. Yes, guys, if you're planning going to a Dallas Cowboys game this year, be sure to go and check out CowboysExperience.com for game tickets, stadium tours, meet and greets, and much, much more.
That's right. And what happens, Paul, if they tell Cowboys Experience that UK Cowboys sent them.
You get some free stuff.
You get free stuff, baby. And also make sure to check out the travel package. We will get an ad put on this. We'll sort this out, Paul, on your to-do list.
Yep, okay.
When you get a chance, yeah. yeah, we will put that on you. We'll give you details as it comes in. If you want to see what the travel package is like, just go and look at last year's one. So you get to see what's involved, how much we throw into jam-pack the thing up.
Yeah, the fact is we got to meet Des Bryant last year during our travel package. So that says it all.
Yeah, that's all you need.
These guys got to interview them as well. So, you know.
from what I remember.
I don't know if you can call it interviewing when it was just noises and words.
Yeah. After so many Cayman Jacks and margaritas.
A lot of Cayman Jacks. Cayman Jacks. And then that was followed up by a load of cowboy ritas in the stadium. So,
yep.
But we don't talk about that too much.
No.
If there's anyone from Blogging the Boys watching, they'll know the situation there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, less we talk about that, the better.
All right, but let's get out of here. We will be back Tuesday where we will do another Project Prospects show. So make sure to join us then, same time as usual. We will also be back next Thursday. Hopefully, Nick Harris will be able to join us. He was supposed to join us tonight, but with all the news and additions, he had to bounce this week. So hopefully we get him on next week and we get to chat to him. Nice guy. Got to meet him in Dallas. So hopefully we get to see him then. But otherwise, stay safe. Have a great weekend. We will be back next week, all on the same time. I start with the first word. So these guys are all going to finish off with the last word. Have a good weekend, guys.
Yeah, have a great weekend. Enjoy your week, and we'll see you back here next week.
Whatever you do this weekend, go all in.
Dallas Fowler, Philly for never, baby. Let's go.